Northeast Archives of Folklore and Oral History, accession number 2196, tape number C771.
February 1990, and this is tape number two with Mr. Frank Niedermeyer at his home in Yucaipa, California. Okay, Mr. Niedermeyer, where we left off was where it was during the Depression, and there was a fellow at the employment office that asked you for graft, and then he, to get you a good job, and then he asked if, since you didn't have any money, did you have any stamps, and you said yes, you had a collection, and he asked if you had any Zeppelin stamps, and you ended up...
Absolutely correct. And then next day, I come back and told him I got the Zeppelin stamps with me. No, get me the job. This job at the Presbyterian Hospital Medical Center, 168th Street in the Bronx, New York. After I got there, I find out, oh, my Swiss countrymen worked there. The head steward, Ernst Meyer, and the head chef, because they were Armand Zürcher, and all the, from the next town where I'm from, Herisau, Henry Gruninger, lived in Nottingham, New Jersey. He worked there, he stayed at the hospital, slept there, up there. And the whole crew. And then I was promoted from diet chef, diet cook, to the Harkness Pavilion, which was the section that cooked for the doctors and the private patients. Private patients, famous private patients was there, Walter Winchell and the Rockefellers and all the rich people, you know, at that time was $25 a day. The private hospital, private room hospital, Harkness Pavilion, was the name of it. And they all got the best food there too. And then they got a notice from the State Employment Office, we would like to have an interview, we come report to the State Employment Office. Now this was 2 years later, in 1941. And we need cooks. The Merchant Marine was anxiously looking for cooks in paper, in advertisement, in the news media. Cooks are urgently needed in the Merchant Marine. So the interviewer at the State Department told me, we need cooks in the Merchant Marine. I don't want to go to the Merchant Marine. They use too many men get lost at sea. Well, we got an opportunity for you to, if you don't want to ship, work on a ship, we can work, join the maritime service as a base being built in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, New York. So you can work at the base. So this was right at the beginning of the base that being built. So report to Sheepshead Bay. They told me, you can start in as a second rating. With the second rating, give me two stripes. One stripe and then two stripes later. After 3 months, they gave me another stripe, another promotion. While I was working there, this was a draft Dodger outfit, if ever was one. I didn't realize that was a draft archering outfit. My draft rating was 3A, as a family man. But then I got acquainted with the meat purifier at the hospital's Buchsbaum, big Anglo dealer in meat. The son became an ensign. Overnight it became ensign. And another one was a supervisor at a Charles restaurant, chain outfit, chain restaurants of New York City, big outfit, Charles restaurants. He became a supervisor. And all the Morel meat company become junior lieutenants. So then I was promoted to be the cook in the officer's mess. With the head cook in the officer's mess. And then after, they gave me a rating, first class officer's cook. I cooked for 350 officers. The stewards under the steward's son was the owners of the famous restaurant in Greenwich Village. The I can't think of that. It was a hillbilly outfit. They had hillbilly music in there. Village Barn.
I don't know anything about
the
it.
The name was Horowitz. David Horowitz and son, owners of the Village Barn in Greenwich Village. It was a dance of character. Famous nightclub with it. David was steward and head steward. And we worked together nice, making out the menus, etc. He always left it up to me what the menu is going to be. And I got so tired working from 6 o'clock in the morning to 8, 9 o'clock at night. And one day we had Abbott and Costello come in there. And would you believe that I had a record what he was eating? I'm talking about Costello. He had two portions of pork chops, two pork chops each time. And then come the dessert. That day I made for dessert brown berry. You know what brown berry is?
Yes.
Apples and breadcrumbs. I used real butter. We had all the butter what they would to use, all the best ingredients was available to me. He ate three portion of brown berry. Almost unbelievable. A man could eat that much. No wonder he lived so very long. He was fat, he was. And afterwards, they come in the kitchen, clowned around, and he took my hat, my chef's hat, put it on himself, posed, and out in a general mess. Yeah, put him in the tub, a cooking tub, one that tilts. Big, holds about 250 gallons and tips over. Put him in the pot. You know, pictures. Took a lot of pictures. And later I found the same picture in a Hollywood magazine of publicity stunts. Publicity. And one day the mess boy said, I'm serving Kate Smith. I said, look here, I got an autograph. Show me the meal ticket, Kate Smith signs on. I told him, why don't you get me one too? So all this time I had autographs from Kate Smith on the mess ticket and the Abbott and Costello too. Abbott Costello, one signature. And I wrote my story and the Vantage Press kept my autographs. I sent it to him and said, they do with them what they want, because I had, after I got to my stuff, I found out I had autographs from President Kennedy, with a little picture of his, and Adlai Stevenson autograph. Not only had a letter from Edgar Hoover, the Federal FBI of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, I had all the things, a conversation from my congressman, Glenn Anderson. So I seen an ad in our local paper here, Messenger. That's what this man, Anderson is from Utah, is looking for to buy autographs. So I sent him a letter, and they sent me a letter back that the Kennedy autograph is worth $490, but I'm not interested in the market, the autograph market. I'm interested in the Abbott and Costello and the Kate Smith autographs. So, but at that time, there was in St. Vantage Press already, and I couldn't ask them to give it back to me. Because for them, what they worked, what they did, I didn't keep it. Or look for a buyer of my autograph, and that was the end of that. I still like to sell those autographs, any amount of them. But they are here. Mer de grâce. Then, where did he left off?
Well, we still haven't got to the convoys, which was what I came after.
Yeah.
We right now we just finished having Kate Smith and Abbott and Costello at the ship's head bay.
When this lieutenant come in the kitchen, it takes time to make more pork chop. I run out of pork chop. And this lieutenant is from a meat company, head man. He was just put in charge, but I was warned about this guy. It's a drunkard. He's an alcoholic. I could tell you already. So, and he come there and complained, well, what's keeping you? Get the pork chops ready. I said, it takes time to make pork chops. I told him, get out of the kitchen. And, you know, you get the Navy slang, get out of the galley. I said, you can't talk to me like that. I said, why not? Well, they interrupt my duty here. I said, I'm going to call the commander. So go ahead, call the commander, I don't care. That Commander Spaulding was in charge over him. So I was about to go on 9 o'clock at night already. See? I've been walking all day, kind of nervous. And I see him come walking. She had dinner much earlier, walking over to all the galleys, the main galleys. And I opened the door for him. As I stood in the door, don't say a word. In other words, keep mum, don't say nothing. Take 3 days off. So after working there a year, I get 3 days off. There was no day off. It was close after Thanksgiving. And there was no control of the amount of food. Day after Thanksgiving, there was a mountain 5 feet high of sliced turkeys laying there. I said, well, most of the servicemen was invited to take off Thanksgiving. That's why another day that about 150 rookies was in the hospital, food poisoning. So they asked me, how come? I at that time I was off. Frank, go out with me in the general mess galley, find out what caused that food poisoning. I looked at it. What was the breakfast the day before? Ham, potatoes mixed. Fried potatoes and ham mixed. Breakfast. And, well, maybe not the ham, and maybe not the potatoes. Then we went over the dishwasher where all the pots and pans are getting washed. There was a mountains of frying pan, the big square one, baking pans. It was all laying there, not washed from the day before, still laying there, unwashed. Somebody fell on KP duty completely, see. One night I was in charge of KP duty. We worked at 12 o'clock at night. All the pans was in a rusty condition. Completely rusted at the bottom, and a little bit on the sides too. I said, look at that, there's your answer. I told that the commander. That rust caught food poisoning. So they got busy cleaning all the rust out of the pans there on oil so it wouldn't happen again. So. Another time, the lieutenant, Marquis was the lieutenant's name. First, Lieutenant Ullman was in charge of the galley. He was the steward on the SS America, the United States line that got torpedoed at the beginning of the war. The lieutenant and the steward, they all come in the United States Maritime Service, and they transferred from Catalina Island over to Ship's Head Bay. They were transferred, and they was in charge of the officers' mess. So we got along fine with them. There was no disputes, nothing, till this new 99 Wonder came there. I chased out of the galley. So, Frank, go on the out in the main galley and find out how you can tactor up the beans. All them wondrous cooks that got hired there, they didn't know how to cook Boston beans. So I went out there, so I get the ingredients, went to the butcher shop, gave me some bacon rind, and put dry mustard or molasses, put molasses in it, all the ingredients I could get hold of, and told them to put that in there. And it was a big 250-gallon jug. Now, there's a monstrous galley, 10 stoves on each side, 10 stoves on both sides, and all the steam operated kettles there. So then I found out how to cook beans. Don't make such a mess. And another time, Lieutenant comes in, a new cookbook for the Navy was made. See, there was a cook and baking school, and Commander Pounds was in charge. Now, Commander Pounds is a very interesting man. I got something to tell you about. Every once in a while, I have men, I don't know, the boots or whoever they were, looking in my freezer, icebox. There was packages in there. I didn't know how, but didn't watch who was putting packages in the icebox that was working, officer's mess. I was whose package is this? I don't know, I'm sorry, I don't know. I didn't know who put it in there. And he couldn't watch every minute of what's going on. Anyway, Commander Pounds, or his son-in-law, was Lieutenant Sylvia. They all put stuff in the icebox. I didn't pay no attention. No, it was none of my business. Those are big officers, commander. Who was Commander Pounds? He was the famous steward that when the ship, the Morro Castle, burned in Asbury Park, New Jersey, when the ship was stranded in the harbor, Commander Pounds was supposed to have been the hero. I mean, he wasn't the commander then, he was the steward on the Morro Castle ship that burned. He was supposed to have saved women and children first and everything under control. So he called him a big hero. So Maritime Service made him commander. All these times the fellows put their heads in my icebox was the FBI man. I was continuously working together with the FBI. Second cook, third cook, I didn't know that. All FBI. So one morning, all the cooks disappeared. They fished out first there, working with me at 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 breakfast. All of a sudden, they all disappeared. About the eye stuck, handed the breakfast all by myself, like a restaurant. There's only one cook. So I was stuck, really stuck, busy, making all the fried eggs and ham and eggs orders. And 9 o'clock, the breakfast is over with. All of a sudden, my second cook shows back up again. He says, "Where the hell were you when I was stuck in here? How come you walk away from the rush I had here?" "Oh, Frank, we got to explain that to you. I was up in the roof making pictures through the window." "What the heck you make? What? My pictures through the window?" "Then don't be it. Those are really FBI men, see? They kept working with me all the time. They took pictures right through the window as Commander Pounds was loading his truck, his private car full of food. All kinds of food he was loading into his car. Come from the butcher shop or the big walk-in ice freezer, see? Oh, Uh-huh, that's what's going on, see? They stopped him at the gate and arrested him. And the next day was a big headline in the New York Times. Federal employee arrest for stealing government food property. Big headline. That was a shock to us. Under the same evening, they told me, "You want to see? Chef, come on to see you after dinner was served. I show you all the affidavit that we confiscated that they had stolen. Everything, when you walk in the food aisle, on the shelves, two shelves, everything was tagged. But there was ham, bacon, butter, whatever. Was back, stored back in the walk-in freezer as evidence. The next day, of course, I didn't know that the lieutenant that gave me the first class Navy cook's job. He made a test, I passed the test. It was his son-in-law, so, Lieutenant Sylvia. And I asked him before that, did I pass the test? Oh, Frank, don't worry, you pass automatically. Some other color person made the test at the same time I did. So. You pass automatically, but it made me happy to hear that. So. And then after that, the commander told me to take 3 days off. I went back to work the end of the week and said, I want to quit. Everybody kept saying, you're in the Navy now, you can't quit. But I remember when they passed the literature around, signed up for the Naval Reserve, I didn't sign the paper, I put it in my pocket and didn't sign for it. So because I was told, if you sign the paper, you have 4 years in the Navy. You sign up for 4 years in the Navy. You can't quit. You can't quit, huh? So we'll see. So after I told the commander I'm going to quit, after I come back to the 3 days of work in the week. And that's the first time I ever had any day, 3 days off, and all this work there, the whole year in the base. I went home, mostly I went home every day to Yorkville, where I was living.
Well, what
somewhere.
What year was this now, 42?
1942, yeah.
42.
Yeah. Maybe by the going on 1943.
Mm-hmm. It was late.
We look up in the paper, except the dates, correct dates. But anyway, then I was looking for a job. Well, if you want in the merchant marine, or nobody else would hire you. In fact, I didn't even look for a job. I went to the NMU. NMU. The president of the NMU, Joe Curran, even was eating in the officer's mess one day. I remember that. They told me Joe Curran is here at NMU. So I went to the NMU Union Hall, somewhere in Main Manhattan. So I asked information there. I want to ship out. I'm a chief cook. There's a dispatcher over there. Go and ask him. So I went over to the dispatcher and said, here's what the dispatcher said. Nobody ships out of this union as chief cook on the first trip. I said, oh yeah? Well, I've been chef, but the officer's men ships that pay. You ships that pay. Any cooks come from ships with a bad name in the Merchant Marine or Union Hall. The Union Hall, then a lot of bad cooks were sent out. That's why they were looking for cooks to start off it. So they want to ship my chief cook. So right in the center of the Union Hall, they stood Joe Curran with two or three other men. I don't know who the other three men were. Maybe the FBI, who knows what they were. See? I want to ship a chief cook. The dispatcher says you can't, nobody ships on this union chief cook. Oh, he says that, but that's the rule they have. Okay, I walked out of the union hall, what the heck with that. So I went to, somebody told me, go to the War Shipping Administration, or War Shipping Administration, down Broadway near the Patrick Park, go there. Or report there, go there. So okay, I did. And all this time, when I was going to see, my draft board didn't notify the draft board that I was in service. I skipped something now. Anyway, then they told me, go to the Pacific Maritime Cooks and Stewards Union, which is on the east side of the Battery Park, on the east side. I went there. With a greeter, me, chief, you want to be chief cook? Yeah. Report to Brooklyn. Brooklyn Board of Embarkation. Go right there. So I was dispatched right there. Being shipped out there, hired there, I worked there. And who comes there? Well, I was working 1 week there before departing. Now everybody said, they seen flour being loaded in the ship, and they heard about the army, Italy is short of flour. Rumors were like that, the ship must be going to Italy. And that's when the Italian campaign was on at that time, see. Monte Cassino battle was going on. Everybody got the ship going to Italy. So then the ship down. Now coming back to Pearl Harbor Day, just about 2 years backtracking. While I was working at the hospital, Presbyterian Hospital, right after Pearl Harbor, the New York City Police Department was organized the Air Raid Warden Service. Now, it was known that England, London got bombed. The most scared man in New York City was the Mayor Fiorella LaGuardia. He was scared that New York City was going to be bombed next, after Pearl Harbor. So I figured, I'm going to volunteer. I got time to volunteer because of working daytime. It was a relief chef at that time at the hospital. And one day cook breakfast, cook, the next day be second cook, the relief chef. And I joined the Red Warden Service, and a police lieutenant was in charge of it. The first thing that happened, the German movie house on 86th Street, I knew the owner. I joined the Red Warden Service also, a lady. That became our office. A government ordered that German movie was closed in the back of our office where the police lieutenant was stationed. So I volunteered, and I met another fellow, German descent. His name was Schultz. We got along acquainted very well. And we was asked for volunteers to organize the Air Raid Warden Service. So I asked a couple of my neighbors. And the Bundist, first question I had to ask, you ever belong to the Bund? Do you know what the Bund is? It was American Nazis. And I knew that the leader walking up down the street one time. See? And they walked around with the uniform on, with swastika on their armband. I couldn't see that as a Swiss American, what they did. So fanatic to the Nazis. And there was a restaurant over the next block, a beer bar. I've been there one time, 1939, as Hitler was invading Austria at the time. It was just called the Anschluss, invading Austria. And they asked me, what are you? I told them, I'm Swiss. And the bartender, I didn't know the fanatics, Nazis too. See? They said, go the next thing, Switzerland's going to be invaded. This happens just after Austria. The next thing, oh no, is that Hitler ain't going to invade Switzerland. We got a Swiss army, we got a Winkelried line that's like the Maginot line. We're not going to invade. The Kaiser did in the First World War. Kaiser never touched Switzerland either. Oh, yeah, you see. I got so disgusted, I never went back in that restaurant. And then, about years later, I didn't know first, I was talking to an FBI man. I have a conversation at the beer bar. I said, that beer joint, there are a bunch of fanatics there. I said, oh, yeah. You know the place. Yeah, been there only once and never went back. He called, he insulted me. He said, Hitler's going to take Switzerland. And said, you know what we did? For 3 months, we FBI men across the street, the bank across the street, we took 3 months for a picture of everybody who was in that restaurant. For 3 months, we FBI took pictures of whoever was going there. Michael never went back there.
Well, now, let's take this off.